Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
I think, you know, I was really disappointed about the not receiving a Best Picture recognition. I think that that was, I was very disappointed in that.
This is The Vault by Access Hollywood.
We're taking you on an epic journey into the heart of Hollywood with iconic interviews and fascinating conversations from the biggest stars in the business.
The Vault opens now.
What is up, y'all? Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Zuri Hall.
And I'm Scott Evans.
And this is The Vault by Access Hollywood. Today on the show, we are going to be breaking our normal format just a little bit, Scott.
Breaking the format. We didn't talk about
breaking
this.
Breaking the format.
What are we doing today?
I know. I just hit you with a curveball. Had to do it. Award season. We'll do that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's like our Super Bowl. You know, this really, what we're about to discuss is the Super Bowl of Hollywood.
Okay, so let me get my game face then. Hold on. I mean, my game voice.
Game voice, right?
In a world.
Ooh,
in a world.
You better hit him with the baritone.
Yeah.
Okay, so then I need you to say the name of this award show because I feel like it'll be way more dramatique. We are talking about one of the greatest Hollywood traditions, the one, the only, the
93rd Annual Academy Awards.
The 93rd Academy Awards ceremony, which is kind of amazing. Not much lasts that long, particularly in Hollywood. So for this tradition to be going for almost a century now says a lot about just how important this is to the people who are nominated, the people who win, the people who are celebrating achievement in acting and in scripted work particularly. I'm really excited about this one, mostly because it's going to be Zoom free. We have seen so many Zoom in pajama party award shows for the last 2 months.
Yeah.
I can't do another one.
Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. There is nothing quite like the Oscars red carpet. I mean, it is just like pandemonium and fandemonium all at the same time. There is a part of me that is absolutely missing that energy. But I am also ready for award season this year. So let's go ahead and wrap it on up, because the sooner we get to that, the sooner these vaccinations come out, the sooner we can get back. I'm trying to get to a pool somewhere. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get,
first of all,
you know, with a margarita.
Scott got a whole pool, y'all. I mean, I'm not going to blow up his whole spot, but he got this baller pad with a private pool in the background.
That's what I mean.
I'm trying to get back to the pool.
I'm trying to get back to my backyard.
Okay.
Exactly. I'm telling you. Trying to get lit.
I'm trying to just get let into the house so I can take
it.
I don't got no
You
pool.
Got the gate code?
Okay. All right. Well, in the meantime, the thing keeping Scott from his pool is the 93rd Academy Awards. It's going to be intimate. Obviously, we're still on the tail end of a pandemic, but it will be Zoom free, which is interesting because this year it's going to be just the nominees, the presenters, and their guests. Those are the only people who are allowed. The show will be held at Union Station in downtown Los Angeles. And it's pretty cool because it's going down at the traditional home of the Academy Awards at the Dolby Theater in Hollywood also. So it's being held in two different locations this time around, which kind of feels similar to, you know, how we had Tina Fey and Amy Poehler
hosting
the Globes coast to coast in New York and Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's a, I think it's a way to also try to make sure that as many bodies that can fit while also keeping it fresh and moving spaces and that kind of thing. I will say, you know, last year I was able to take my mom to the Oscars, and you know, Cynthia Erivo, who is near and dear to both of us, all of us, was nominated and performed that year. And so it was one of, traditionally, it's one of the like stuffiest, because it's the, it's like the, you know, it's the, hello, I am here. It's that kind of show. And so it started last year with Janelle Monáe, like, meow. Like, this is not going to be your typical Oscars.
You thought.
And it wasn't. It wasn't. Remember, Elton John performed? Like, it was over-the-top fun, for especially for an Oscar ceremony. So I'm hoping that they bring some big surprises this year. We've all, like you said, have had to deal with this COVID-19 pandemic and the delays and the changes and the guidelines and the restrictions. And so at one point, we were all kind of thinking, were the Academy Awards, was award season even going to happen? And I think that with some of the success, and not necessarily in viewership, but some of the success in pulling off some of these other award shows, because unfortunately, the viewer hasn't really, there's not a year where habits are what you've always done. So viewing habits aren't what they've always been, right? So I wonder how they're going to address that part in their show. But today, how today's episode is going to break down, Zuri and I are going to be covering Best Supporting Actress, Best Supporting Actor, Best Actress, Best Actor, Best Director, and Best Picture. We've also got some interviews with this year's nominees that you definitely, definitely do not want to miss. So, Zuri, what do you say we go ahead and jump into the first category? For Best Supporting Actress, the nominees are Maria Bakalova, Borat, subsequent movie film, Glenn Close, Hillbilly Elegy, Olivia Colman, The Father, Amanda Seyfried, Mank, Yegyun Yoon, Minari. I mean, this is a stacked, this is a stacked category. To be honest with you, I was surprised to see Borat.
Were you?
I was surprised to see Borat.
The only reason I'm not surprised is because Maria got so much acclaim, particularly around the Globes, for her performance in Borat.
Okay.
And so the one that I might be a little bit more surprised to see is Glenn Close. Not because I don't love Glenn Close. No, no shade. I'm excited for this. It was just that, and I really want to see Glenn take this Oscar, to be clear.
Okay.
But when I was looking at a lot of critical reviews of the film, right, it was kind of a room divided. People either loved it or hated it. Weren't sure of the portrayal of that community and that story, or were all in. So that's less commentary on who I think will take this and more a reflection of just
what people are talking about it.
The critical reviews that I saw. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you this. There was nothing like seeing Mama on the screen. Glenn Close, she will put on some prosthetics, boy. You know what I mean? She will rock a look for a movie. Oh, you want me to, you want to make me a man? Come on.
Yeah, let's come on. We got.
I got a top hat. Let's go.
The transformation was amazing.
Transformation is amazing. Olivia Colman, though, I just, I kind of feel like she can't do anything wrong. Do you remember when she talked about peeing herself a little bit at her last Oscar acceptance
speech? When she
won
for The Favorite?
Yeah.
Oh
my God. She was like,
yes.
Like, she, I just feel like she is. She seems anyway, in all of the instances I've seen her off camera or out of a character, she seems like the chick you want to kind of hang out with.
Right, right. She's very down to earth, very unaffected, right, by her fame, and also extremely talented, which is a dream combination, because not only do you want these people to win, but when they do, you're so happy, because it felt almost when she won for The Favorite, she so didn't expect that. Like, she genuinely was like, wait, what?
What?
In the most endearing way, because her performance was next level. So it wouldn't surprise me if Olivia took it either. But I don't know. Minari is just the talk of the town. So anybody attached to Minari this season just is coming for the gold.
I mean, just go ahead and get cash your checks.
Cash the checks now.
Just cash the checks.
Cash the checks. It's a stacked category for sure. We'll see who ends up taking it. But up next, we've got the Best Supporting Actor category. This is the one where I'm just way more torn. I don't know. I almost can't, you know, commit to one person, because it's a little bit like Sophie's Choice for me.
Yeah.
The amazing actors nominated this year. We have Sacha Baron Cohen for The Trial of the Chicago 7.
Not Borat.
Not Borat, which is great to see, honestly.
Exactly.
I love that for him. Yeah. I really love that for him. Daniel Kaluuya, who just absolutely killed it as Fred Hampton in Judas and the Black Messiah. Leslie Odom Jr. in One Night in Miami as one of my favorite musical artists of all time. Sam Cooke, Paul Rassi in The Sound of Metal, and Lakeith Stanfield also in Judas and the Black Messiah. This one, Scott, I don't know. my immediate, oh my God, please.
One, two, three, go.
Daniel in Judas and the Black Messiah.
Okay.
It was an amazing transformation. His performance was so moving, so passionate, so riveting. Mm-hmm. When you hear clips of Fred Hampton, and particularly when you speak to, as I spoke to Fred Hampton's son about the film, and you realize just how much Kaluuya stepped into this man's world and his shoes and just really brought this man back to life, it was just uncanny. And so for that reason, it was certainly one of my favorite performances. It's hard to pick between him and Lakeith sharing the screen in such an important story. Mm-hmm. And then I just love Leslie Odom Jr., period. I just, oh God, I love him.
Just gonna say, it's Leslie for me.
Yeah.
And the only reason is because to be a singer, right? Mm-hmm. To be an actor who sings, who's known for his voice, to be able to adapt your voice in a way that you take on someone else's tone while also still performing in a way that is so you, right? Mm-hmm. If you've seen One Night in Miami, you know he sings, I was born by the river.
In a little tent.
Come on. I mean, there's a, you see him, and it's one take with a slow push. Mm-hmm. And at the right time, it's like this little tear just falls down his eye. And he told me that was one of the first things they shot. Mm-hmm. It was one of the first things that really helped set the tone for what they would go on to create in the dialogue for the movie. And it took him there.
Yeah.
And that they used one of the earlier takes of the performance. And so the One Night in Miami to me was just one of those movies that, again, like you said, with Judas and the Black Messiah, it's a necessary story. It was one also the trial of the Chicago Seven.
Stacked, right? All right. Necessary stories, but yeah. I agree with you. Leslie's performance in One Night in Miami was absolutely amazing. I remember him saying that he hesitated. He didn't even want to touch the role. He was like, absolutely not.
I think someone else can do this.
Right, exactly. Somebody, anybody, literally anybody but me. And out of such beautiful deference to the artist, right? And to be a singer in your own right, and the judgment that comes, going, that ain't how he sounded. That ain't how he moves. Like, you are signing yourself up for so much scrutiny. So for him to be able to execute that performance in a way that was believable and real and felt like truth instead of impersonation,
right,
for lack of a better phrase, that is not easily done. We actually got a chance to speak with nominee Leslie Odom Jr. about that nomination for his role as Sam Cooke in One Night in Miami and what it meant to be sharing that moment with his team and with his support system. Listen to this.
So I have not processed yet. I'm processing with every hour that I'm awake and every person that I talk to. So thank you for your help. I'm not dreaming, right? We're really talking, and this is
really happening.
All right. So yeah, I'm processing moment by moment.
So where were you when the nominations happened? Who called you? Walk me through this morning.
Nobody does this thing alone. You know, all of us, you know, I've learned, anybody you see having a morning like this, it is thanks to the very hard work of little teams of people, little pods of people. We're all used to pods now, right? But it's my, you know, your agent and your manager, your publicist, these people that signed on to be a part of you, to be, you know, to help you become all that you wanted to be as a little boy, a little girl somewhere. You know, they sign on to be a part of that long before anybody else does. And so I heard from that team. I heard from my team this morning. They called me. I was not up watching the nominations, but I got their call, their very excited call.
Let me tell you about a call.
Shout out to his dad. They did.
That's the kind of phone call. Look, thinking about answering the phone gives me anxiety.
Yeah.
For some reason.
As it should.
As it should. But also, I feel like I would have been watching.
No, I feel him. I would rather you call me with some good news than I put myself through the torturous dread of listening to every single syllable leading up to my category just to potentially not be nominated. It feels more like a twist of the knife for things that are so big and so important. It's almost like I need to not let them be bigger than they need to be.
Call
me if I'm nominated. Otherwise, I'm gonna be asleep.
I don't know, because I need to know when it's over. If I'm waiting, because otherwise I'm just looking at my phone for the next 7 hours, like, ain't nobody going to call?
Yeah.
And then when the Postmate man call, you know, we got your food. Hello, is this the Oscars?
Is this the Oscars? The Academy?
Okay. Yeah, no? Okay, got it. just my double cheeseburger? Okay.
That'll do.
I suppose. Hold the sauce. Okay, good. So... let's go then to the best actress category, shall we?
Oh, wait. No, I love that you're so excited. I can't wait to talk about the best actress category.
No.
But first, we got to go to an ad break.
But we don't.
Got to go. Just super fast. It'll be so fast. You guys, super fast. See you in a second. Mm.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Okay, see how fast that was?
Was it fast?
Yes, in and out. Boom, we're back. Let's go.
We're back. Where were we?
Best actress.
Okay, all I have to say is this category is going to for sure cause a panic attack for me, Oscar Sunday. Between Viola Davis for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Andra Day for The United States versus Billie Holiday, for Vanessa Kirby, Pieces of a Woman, Frances McDormand. I didn't even like Nomadland, and I'm still rooting for her in this movie. Carey Mulligan and Promising Young Woman also. Like, it was Promising Young Woman, first of all, was one of those movies. As a guy watching the movie, you're just like, oh, we gotta do better.
So much better.
Like, yes. And I know that may sound like I'm kidding, but I'm not. Like, we have to, there shouldn't be whole movies. And it's certainly not the first, and I'm sure it won't be the last, whole movies centered around the ego and the danger, really, that men put women in on a daily basis, or at least the consideration for that danger that women have to live with on a daily basis. But this category is like, I'm sweating right now. Have you seen these movies?
Ooh, it's hard, man. It's hard because I've seen these movies. I love them all. I love these women, period. Mm-hmm. I have to say, okay, so I'm torn.
Putting you on the spot.
First thing I will say, one person whose performance I really did love, Vanessa Kirby in Pieces of a Woman, particularly the scene in which she is giving birth. I think she said she actually, a woman who was giving birth, let her in to watch that process, be in the birthing room with her while she was taking notes, intonations, physicality, just the pure force that the female body exerts in such a beautiful, painful, and sometimes in this case, tragic process. It was just really beautifully done. So I was like, good God, that's some acting that I just have. That's next level acting.
Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
Is there another is there another profession on this planet that could make that kind of request of another person? I want to be the kind of actor that's like, excuse me, ma'am, can I come in and watch you give birth? I'm preparing for a role.
I'll be quiet.
I'll sit in the corner, but I want to take some notes, maybe a couple videos. And just want to watch your beautiful delivery happen. If that's cool with you, I'd love to sit in. It's COVID. Sorry, we can only have one person, but it's either you or the father. I mean, you've had other kids.
Here's the thing. He's going to be around, right?
Yeah,
you've got your whole life for that.
Girl, I'm trying to get this Oscar.
Child. Exactly. She just might get it. Somebody said,
yeah. She just might get it.
Even in the COVID times, they let her in with her little mask on. She did an amazing job. Andra, I love her spirit. I love her talent. It was such a joy to see her take the globe. And particularly the reason that I'm excited about the opportunity for Andra to take this is as a, you know, relatively younger talent and a Black woman nominated in this category. Remember, Halle Berry was the first Black woman to win Best Actress. And at this point, that feels like eons ago, years and years and years ago. And she's talked about how it's sad that she has been the first and the last so far. And so I would love to see that moment happen right now, particularly when it is so deserved via a woman who took the globe. And we've seen that, right? Very often, whoever, you know, takes the Golden Globe, it's normally a pretty decent or reasonable indicator of their likelihood to take the Oscar not too long after that. So if Andra took it, that'd be awesome. And it wouldn't surprise me. But then Viola and Ma Rainey's Black Bottom just put down. Those are my top three. Those are my favorites. But I also just love Promising Young Woman as a film, as a story, and the way that they tackled a really important and difficult conversation with dark humor. I think that's a really difficult balance to strike. And they did it wonderfully, but it's Andra or Viola for me.
Okay, so first of all, I just want to say Frances McDormand is it her face or her and her voice, like the way that she can deliver a glance. It's not even a line. The way that she can deliver a glance is like, okay, yep.
Yeah.
I saw the realness. I saw the truth in that. I agree with you about Viola. I mean, I am in consistent awe of her, right? And the way that she's chosen projects since the very beginning of her career. But there's something about Andra that I'm just like, you know, I was talking to her the other day and she said, because I was like, you seem melancholy. You don't seem, I know that you're excited, but right now, what are you thinking about right now? And she was like, honestly, I just talked to Lee Daniels, the director, of course, of the movie. And I was saying to him, what do I do after this, right? Like the award ceremony or the award season is coming to an end, which means the ride of this film really is kind of coming to an end. The energy behind the movie is kind of coming to an end, or at least a plateau. She's like, I'm having a crisis of existence, right? Like no work. I'm worried that no work I do after this will be as significant or as impactful as this. And I was like, damn, what a place to like, to realize one, that this has really, really made a kind of mark that is never going away. And also as an artist, a person who creates, trying to figure out, okay, well, what do I do next? And she said that Lee told her, I thought that with Precious. Right. And then he thought that with The Butler, you know, and then he's like, you just have to remain open to the fact that that energy that led you to this one is going to continue to lead you to other ones and that you can't get caught up in the what do I. It's actually just how do I remain open?
Right.
It was such a cool conversation. Yeah, so I'm hoping that this beautiful journey for her as her first role.
Yeah.
In homage to her.
That's the thing, y'all. She wasn't even giving us the acting moments yet. The fact that she stepped into this role with such conviction and authority and truth, and we've only known her, at least publicly, as this really amazing and talented singer, it says so much about her skill set and about her talent. And I love what you shared about her perspective. It's a little sad, right? A little bittersweet that it's such an exciting moment. This is where her head is. But what I take away from that is, that is the mind and the heart of a true artist, right? It's not about, oh, it's lit right now. Oh, I'm up for this. I'm up for that. Because, right. you know, most of the artists that we speak to, they are excited by and honored mm-hmm. by these awards and these nominations, but it really is about the art for them. And so for her, creating the art is done, right? She's told the story. She stepped into this role, and it's almost unbelievable to hear that she's already mourning the potential loss in her head, right? Because we know this will come for her again, of the opportunity to create more art as significant as this. Like as that is true artistry to me. It's awesome.
Yeah. And so it's for me, it was also just like a testament to like, if you're a person, you know, I'm constantly looking for the moments like, okay, how do I apply this moment, this exchange, this interview, this interaction? How can I apply that in my life? What is the lesson in that? Right. And it really is that, like, if you can just remain the kind of if you can remain the kind of optimistic that allows you to try other things, mm-hmm. you don't have a say in whether it's impactful necessarily. You don't have a say in whether it's significant necessarily. It's mm-hmm. as long as it is true to who you are and what you believe in and what you want to create, then it is significant. Yeah. And that sometimes that's all that really, really matters. Yeah. So it was really cool. You and I talked about this moment during the Golden Globes after her win. We lost it. I mean, we're on the Zoom and the edge. We just talking and laughing and joking and whatever. And in walks Hollywood royalty Regina King to crash the interview. She said she was knocking on doors trying to figure out where she was in the hotel. You have to listen. It's too good to just let it go. Well, I want to relive it one more time. Take a listen.
I'm so happy to see your face. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Oh, you are so beautiful.
You
oh my
are
God.
So
oh my God.
Regina.
This is such a crazy moment.
Regina and Andra Day. Oh my God, I love this.
Are you getting every picture? Please. Oh my God, this is so crazy.
Regina, wait. Regina, tell me how proud. Regina, tell me how proud you are.
Oh, I'm sorry, because they're going to get me. This costs too much money. I'm not trying to get fined.
Listen, don't get fined. Listen, just tell Regina, ask Regina to tell me how proud she is of you.
Wait, what are you saying, Scott? Hold on, say it one more time.
Ask Regina to tell me how proud she is of you.
As how proud she is? Oh yes. My God, are you kidding me? Look at this beautiful black woman. Look at these people here at these Globes. Oh my God, look at this.
So we found out this woman was in this hotel.
We were watching TV and we were like, oh my God. This is so
crazy. Well, y'all just knocking. Y'all were just knocking. We gonna find her here today.
Was simply beautiful.
Oh my goodness.
Listen, do you know, Andrew, do you know that you have made history? You have made history as only the second woman to ever win this Golden Globe. It is, you are standing not only on the, you are standing literally on the shoulders of those who come before you. Tell me how it feels.
And that's why this movie makes me so proud, because that's what, all of these stories that have been suppressed and all of this, you know, stage and these places that we've been, you know, not invited to, that we haven't been, you know, represented in, and that we haven't, because as she's standing here right now, but this woman, Regina, you know, all of these amazing actors, and all these amazing artists and all these people that came before, that's blood. That's right. Blood. You know what I mean? When I hear the words in that song, blood at the root, that's blood at the root. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the strength. And God is so amazing. And I just feel like I just want to keep seeing this platform just keep expanding and keep expanding, where it's not a conversation anymore. It's not like, oh, you know, okay, black folks are involved. No, it's just how it's supposed to be.
How it's supposed to be.
Everybody's supposed to be represented.
I mean, if you don't feel the excitement.
Listen.
It was so cool. Then you got Regina
what
King talking through the mask.
What a moment to witness, right? She has a mask on. I am so proud of her. We got what we needed to know.
Do you know?
I love it. We love it. Let's go ahead and keep it moving with our predictions. In the next category, Best Acteur. There were so many awesome performances this year, but these are the ones that ended up walking away with the nominations. We have Riz Ahmed in Sound of Metal, Chadwick Boseman in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Oh my gosh, I just, I kind of just want to stop there and talk about his performance for the next hour. But we also have Anthony Hopkins in The Father, Gary Oldman in Mank, and Steven Yeun in Minari. So my personal favorite is Chadwick Boseman in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. I remember watching that performance and crying. And it was, there was one monologue in particular, as I was watching it, I had to snap out of it to text everyone I knew in that moment and say, if you have not turned on Netflix and watched Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, do it tonight. Watch this performance. It is so beautiful. It is so bittersweet. When—
Can I guess? Can I guess which one it was?
Guess.
Was it the scene where Chadwick is having a conversation with his bandmates and he's challenging the love, the consideration of a just God?
Yep, that's exactly it. That is exactly it. And the way that we are processing that performance now, right, hits so differently and so much more deeply, because in that performance, we know now that Chadwick knew that, and not only knew, but had been living with essentially terminal cancer at that point. And I would assume, you know, very much coming to terms with what it meant to know that his human life, his life here on earth would be ending. And the commitment, the presence, the grace that it takes to be able to give a performance like that in the midst of the greatest struggle of your life, I can't begin to imagine. I felt everything that he said, and we would have felt it regardless, right? Mm-hmm. That is just how talented of an actor he was, but it added a layer of depth and honesty and pain. And like, maybe, dare I say, I peace a little bit. It's, there are so many emotions watching it. And I couldn't help but grapple with what he was thinking as he prepared to perform that monologue, particularly with the context of what was happening in his real life. It was so well done.
To hear people who know him well describe him as the kind of person who believed the direct opposite of what Levy, his character, was talking about, right? That he believed in the special provision of a just God, that he believed that each and every one of us has a claim on our life, a grace that goes before, after, and around us, right? Like there are special considerations made for each and every one of us because we are children of God. Like that's the kind of man that Chadwick Boseman was, right? And so to have to click into so believably this other conversation, this other kind of consideration for how could God love me if I had to go through this? I was talking to some of the cast members about that scene in particular, because I had to stop the movie at that point. And they all said that it was one of the performances they didn't stop. They just kept going. The director was like, I'm not going to interrupt this moment. I'm not going to give you another direction. You go where you're going, and whatever is on the tape is on the tape. And that take is what they use in the film. And after it, I don't even believe the director said he yelled cut. It just stopped. Chadwick collapsed into tears, and every single cast member collapsed into tears around him, that they all huddled him. And it was just like this release and this prayer that happened on set, and that it was an experience none of them would ever forget. And to know now what was perhaps unknown then by many of them, or any of them, was made even more intense, and his performance made even more real. So I love Riz Ahmed. There is just something in this Chadwick Boseman performance. There's a special sauce on this one. And so, I think, and to be honest with you, I would love to see it again for his family.
You know, this is just the one that I'm most confident about who I think will take it. I really do believe this will be both.
Zuri said, you don't even need to say any other names. Okay, so check out this. One of the castmates that I talked to was, in fact, Viola Davis. And so I want to share this moment and listen to her talk about her co-star, her friend, and all of the awards buzz around his performance.
Of course, we hear all of this Oscar buzz around the film, around you. And that, to me, is not a surprise. You are such a gift in this movie, but also your co-star, Chadwick.
Yeah.
The Oscar buzz for him. And I would imagine that for you, that might be even more special.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know.
It is. Because it's deserved. That's why. And it's not because he is now transitioned and he's passed. That's not it. And I know that that's probably could be the narrative that's being portrayed out there. No, it's not, that's not it. What's it is he was a great artist. And he was a great artist who met a great role and he fulfilled it. And if you look at Levy, you've seen the movie. Levy is probably the greatest role for a young African-American actor ever in history of Black drama and Black plays. And it is very hard to give yourself over to a young man who has experienced that level of trauma, those long monologues, those long riffs, making you believe that he's a musician, all of those things. The challenges of that role was met by a great artist, and that's why he deserves any kind of awards consideration.
That part.
From Ma Rainey herself. You know? Yeah. That's
She's right. She's right about it. Yeah.
All right. Well, now let's move on to best director. And I'm going to just be honest. I'm upset about the category, but we're going to talk about that in a second. So you have Lee Isaac Chung for Minari. You have Emerald Fennell for Promising Young Woman. David Fincher for Mank. Thomas Vinterberg for Another Round. Chloe Zhao for Nomadland. I'm going to be honest with you. To me, one of the glaring omissions for what seems like no reason at all was Regina King for One Night in Miami. We know that the Oscars it's not a requirement that they can only have this amount of nominees, or they can't have more than this. They can nominate whoever they want to nominate. So right, it just seemed to me to be a missed opportunity, because I think that the movie deserved it, not just because I love Regina, but because I felt like the work merited the recognition.
I agree. Do you think, and also that was Regina's directorial debut in this way. Do you think sometimes, and this is not my stance, I'm just wondering out loud. Does the Academy maybe get a little snobby a little bit? You haven't earned this yet-ish.
Sure.
You think sometimes, like the fact that this is her first time directing, to already have snagged the nomination feels a little bit too generous? I don't know. This is truly a question.
I think they are that way, in particular with the director category. Mm-hmm. You know, this is like a history-making year because there are two women in the category. This is the most women that have ever been in the category. So. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely do believe there is some element of that, for sure. But I also then look at the best actress category, and Andra Day, if her work merits the nomination, I think that as a first-time actress, I think that Regina's merits.
Regina should take it too.
Yeah, I mean, at minimum, the importance of the film and this year, how timely its release was. I just think it was a glaring omission. And I was talking to her about it, and I asked her, because I was like, is it just me? Like, if you're like, I'm not really thinking about it, I'm not very worried about it. I'm you know, we got three other nominations, we're good. I'll let it go. Yeah. And she was like, I'm gonna be honest, I was a little
I wasn't gonna say nothing, but since you mentioned it.
I was a little disappointed.
Not gonna lie.
And what she said, it wasn't even about her as director, it was about Best Picture. She thought that the film deserved, and the fans of the film, even the critical acclaim, merited a nomination for Best Picture. Yeah. So, I have not even seen Another Round. I'll be honest. I still got to get to that one.
Same. I agree with you, though. Regina certainly should have gotten that nomination for her directorial debut. I'm with you on that one.
Okay, wait. So we've actually got a clip. Take a listen to this. This is actually my conversation with Regina about That Snub.
I think, you know, I was really disappointed about the not receiving a Best Picture recognition. I think that was... I was very disappointed in that. I was disappointed as far as director, but more about Best Picture. Not the type of disappointed that you the athlete may feel when they didn't win the championship and it's emotional like that. Not like that disappointment, but disappointment because I know how the audience really reacted to One Night in Miami and how many people have said and expressed how moved they are and how they move they continue to be and how they've gone back to watch the film again. And I feel like there are those moments that don't happen that often when it comes to the Academy, where a film that's loved by the people and that's loved by the critics is celebrated. And this was one of those films that, you know, we were reviewed so well, and but we were received by the people so well. So that, at the end of the day, is what you really want.
She handled that with a lot of grace. And I do think that was really significant, important to note. She's right, because when you think about the reaction to the film and just how positively it was received, and also how creative what they were doing was and how much of a risk it was, right? Mm-hmm. Because here's the thing. This night didn't happen,
right?
And these men are very real and very significant
figures.
Icons in history, mm-hmm. period, not just Black history. And so to be like, what if they all got together? That could go so right or so wrong. And the nuance and the talent that it takes to lead a team in executing and directing that sort of vision to life in a way that translates as it did says a lot. And so for that not to be acknowledged via a nomination for her just is disappointing.
Absolutely. Okay, so y'all didn't see that, but y'all saw Another Round?
Stop. You gonna Again, leave Another I, Round
Thomas,
alone?
Listen, Thomas, I love you. I think that you are great. At the same time, I just feel like, okay.
I'm right.
Okay, Thomas. Not saying you don't deserve it, Thomas. I'm not saying you don't deserve it. All I'm saying
is, let Thomas be great.
All I'm saying is,
let Thomas be great.
Okay.
My thing is just throw Regina into the category. Like you said, it's not like they had to cut off the nominations at a certain point.
Let me send an email.
So I want Thomas to be nominated. I just need Regina nominated too. Send your email.
You just went Ohio.
What did I do?
I'm gonna need Regina. I don't need Regina.
Side note, I didn't realize that's what we low-key said. I was like, did I used to sound like this?
I'm a name Regina.
I was on the phone with somebody from Ohio the other day, and I was like, ma'am, am I from the country? I started to reevaluate my whole life.
Country.
Shout out to the nominees, though, who are being given their just due in this category for Best Director. We'll see who takes it.
We'll see.
Closing out today's episode, we have the big one. Obviously, this is the one we're always waiting for, right? To close the show. Best Picture. This year, there are 8 incredible films nominated. We have The Father, Judas and the Black Messiah, Mank, Minari, Nomadland, Promising Young Woman, Sound of Metal, and The Trial of the Chicago 7. Who? A lot of nominations. That's a
lot
hard
of nominations. Lot Not of enough nominations.
I am. Oh gosh, wait. And we lost him. Scott's gone, y'all. We're going to have to stomp down.
No, my hands were sticky. I couldn't, you know, I just needed to rinse some water on it. They were like, I was like starting to sweat thinking about it.
It's probably because you're on edge, right? This is, you're triggered, best picture.
I'm very triggered year after year. Category.
It's like, oh God, who's going to take it? I'm going to just say Minari.
Yeah.
Minari. I think it will be Minari.
Yep. It's got so much momentum right now. Mm-hmm. It's the one that everyone seems to be talking about. It also does tell the story of the pursuit of happiness, yeah, right? That all of us can relate to. And I think, you know, as we're looking at a lot of the headlines around erasing hate and standing up for our Asian brothers and sisters, like it's, mm-hmm, it also is kind of like a moment, like a stamp in time, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I'm not surprised by its momentum. In fact, I'm encouraged by its momentum. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna lie to you though, if they get up on that stage and it's one of those moonlight moments, you know, we'll both get to share the stage for a little bit.
Oh my God. When I tell, do you remember
being
on the carpet, right? Were you at the governor's ball, right? The first governor's party ball that everyone, mm-hmm, stops at after they win, they're walking in with their Oscars. I was with my outlet at the time. I think you were there, right? With Access.
Yeah. Yep.
And us watching on the tiny little box and getting like, ready, prepping our questions, like, oh, okay, let's go. La La Land won. Okay, I'm thinking I'm asking so-and-so when they hit the carpet. And then
and I was like, La La Land.
I'm sorry. Well, no, but shout out to La La Land, though, because my boy Mike Jackson, they held it down with that one. And it was awkward to see the whole
moment
where they had to, you know, pivot and exit stage left.
It was a hard pivot, too.
It was a hard pivot.
I'm so sorry.
The envelope was wrong.
This actually goes to you, Moonlight.
I was mad, too, because I was like, y'all would find a way to just mess this one up. I was so
Steve Harvey.
Like, oh my God. Oh my God.
And then they brought him back to try to fix it the next year. And they were like, we have got our glasses on. We are not going to mess it up.
Jeez. But Lord, it was awesome have to mercy. See them win in the end.
So just bring everybody up on the stage this year. You might as well.
Pageant style.
The winner is The Father, Mank, Minari, Nomadland. No, just kidding. It's Promising
Everybody
Young Woman.
Everybody wins. Participation trophies for all. Right? Could you imagine if that was the Oscars?
I mean, if you're listening to this, if you're thinking you disagree with any of our predictions, we want to hear from y'all. Mm-hmm. So tweet us. I want to know what y'all think.
Same.
So listen, we just want to thank y'all for listening to another episode of The Vault by Access Hollywood. I'm Scott Evans.
I'm Zuri Hall.
Be sure to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or really wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you on the next one.
The Vault by Access Hollywood is hosted by Scott Evans and Zuri Hall, produced by Access Hollywood Digital's Jenny Depper and Rebecca Zamer, and Digital Media Management's Grant Rutter, Audrey Povar, and Ryan Middledorf, and Trey Boudet. Join us next week when we open up that vault again for more iconic celebrity interviews and all things entertainment. Rate, subscribe, and share.